Good day. My name is Michelle. Welcome to Nova's Business Report. And on the Market Watch with me today, I have Floris Berg from Capricorn Asset Management. And a topic that has been part of every election almost last year of every developed nation was the cost of living. And it's been a hot topic, and presidents have been voted in or out as a result of what you either call inflation or cost of living. So, Floris, thank you very much for being my guest. Let's, before we get into the outlook on inflation and interest rates, talk a little bit about this issue called cost of living and historical inflation. What are you seeing for us in Namibia?
Yeah, hi, Michelle. Good day to the listeners. It is, inflation is a controversial subject to start off with. As a starting point. So in many, many presentations and interactions with people and clients, one always get this comments that inflation cannot be what the official stats is because my car is now so much more expensive than it was a while back, etc. So I thought it was good to maybe just make a distinction and saying the current cost of living is like a level that one can think of. So how expensive is everything now at the moment, but that is a result of historic inflation. So if you look, for instance, this argument in the Namibian case would be that the cost of living in Namibia over the past 5 years, ending now in the latest inflation numbers, is up with about 30%.
Sure. So, in 5 years' time, in 5 years' time, our cost of living, our expenses is almost 30% higher than it was 5 years ago.
That's right. Yeah. So 5 years ago, it was just at the tail end of the big COVID-led drop in prices. So just in the wake of COVID, everything obviously rose quite a lot. And also we had the 2022, the Russian-Ukraine-related energy crisis. So that means that we have got a certain average inflation rate over the last few years that brought us to where we are. So in some other number would be like in transport, the operation of vehicles, which include the fuel price, is up by 55% over this period. So people are most aware of what the price at the pump is that day when they fell up, etc. And then you have other prices like meat is up 50%, fruit is up 92%, vegetables 33%. So there are
And housing or rent prices, that obviously also plays a role.
Yes. That is the important, you raise an important point because one must remember that inflation is not only constituted by those things that we pick up when we go to the shop. So yeah, inflation cannot be 3% because watermelon prices have doubled. Just remember that housing is a big component on inflation. So inflation tries to measure the general price level of the disposable spending or your disposable income spending in the economy, which housing is an important one. So, for instance, rentals since COVID have actually escalated very slowly nationwide. Some segments you would see that rentals have escalated very sharply of late, like the two and three bedroom housing, townhouses, etc. But that is not, it's not been happening over the 5 year period as such. Only update, it's now come through and people are saying now rentals are escalating and housing is becoming unaffordable, etc. But in actual fact, if you think about the 5 years, rentals have not escalated that much.
So, Floris, let me ask you then the disconnect between what people feel and what is being announced. I mean, we've seen what happened in America is that the head of statistics just gets fired if you don't like the data. But I mean, maybe just to explain to our listeners, the biggest reason why we feel a more in-depth, you know, heat when it comes to cost of living versus the official rates being announced.
Yeah, it is. It is. I, in my view, probably due to the things that we notice the most. We will notice things that have jumped.
Yeah.
What it would be like the latest spending, a thing that you spend on, let's say you went for your monthly grocery shopping, then you notice here and there. So people then are, let's call it, they are the feeling you're talking about is based on the latest one that you've noticed. But you forget that there are the number of different domains of spending.
You've got to
look at your whole basket, as we call it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's fair to say that within the last 5 years, where cost of living went up almost 30%, that's definitely not the level of increases in salaries. Listen, Floris, let's just quickly move on to the debate in South Africa between National Treasury and the SARB in terms of what the inflation target should be. Has that now been settled? And where does that leave the outlook on South African rates?
Yes, that's actually quite an important development of the last few weeks, where we've seen that the SARB has continued to push hard for this new inflation target. And they've actually, for all practical purposes, they've now adopted an expectation of 3%. They prefer to have inflation at 3%. But they cut interest rates on the same day that they announced this, let's call it the preferred rate. I had probably a case of a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, is that? The Minister of Finance had been decidedly less enthusiastic, which is quite worrying, because for the 3% target to succeed, you really need the buy-in of the government to also commit to the target. By that mean, that I mean the government needs to commit to raise salaries by not more than 3%. Then you commit to not increase spending by more than 3%. So if they don't play ball, then the SARB is in a very unenviable position to achieve the 3%. So generally speaking, I think the expectation at the moment is still basically that such a demanding inflation target has now been practically implemented by the SARB means higher interest rates for longer, because they will want to be erring on the cautious side to see if they cannot achieve this level. Now, currently, the inflation rate in South Africa is 3%. So it's probably now the time to implement. However, I do not think it will stay there for long. We're going to see an uptick of inflation, in my expectation, by year into more closer to the midpoint of the current target range of 4.5% or thereabouts. So that means that I think the interest rate in Africa and Namibia, the policy rate, has now reached a leveling off period. So it will probably plateau where it is currently, while we're waiting to see whether the 3% unfolds or not.
So I guess also part of that reason would be this the tariffs coming. Maybe just in conclusion, Floris, where does that now take us in Namibia? I mean, we've had a differential where Namibia rates were lower by about 50 basis points previously, 75. The SARB cut, we didn't cut, and now the differential is 25. Are you then saying that the bond will follow sort of the stance where we keep interest rates at the current level and see what happens?
Yes, I think the window for interest rate cuts are basically closed. I think the Namibian Bank, the Bank of Namibia, has been a little bit ahead of the curve. They have been cutting interest rates earlier than the SARB, so opening up those discounts that you now mentioned. But we are now back at the 25 basis points, which is much more comfortable, I think, for everybody concerned. But I would say stay around there for the foreseeable future, I think.
Yeah, and it's not like Namibia is not going to see cuts, but those cuts will just not be coming from Bonn, where there is this push on the commercial banks to lower their lending rates. So I think just back to the first point in terms of cost of living, you know, it can be such a spiral But yeah, I think some relief, albeit it not coming from the central bank, but the cost of living remains an issue. So thank you very much for, I think, you know, it gives us a perspective of the last 5 years and one wonders where things are going. But thank you very much for being my guest. And maybe one can unpack more of that with the next announcement. Floris, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure, Michelle. All the best, and all the best to the listeners.